right, everyone, welcome back to Millennial Pep Talk, episode 8. I know you couldn't wait. I'm your host, Chris Crockett.
And I'm Esther Polito.
Oh, God. All right, today we are walking through the minefield that is modern dating. We had to do it.
Oh, it's so scary. So scary.
Yes, so we're going to discuss why it's so bad and how we got here. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to you, Esther. I want to know how you think about dating and what you think people are looking for.
I feel like modern dating has a lot going on right now, which is, it's kind of a bit of a mess.
Yeah, that pregnant pause at the beginning said a lot.
Quite frankly, that's why there's a lot of trepidation that comes. I'd rather just talk about anything else in this topic because I feel like I've spent the first half of my years spending a lot of energy and resources on understanding dating and relationships. And now I'm like in a totally different part of that journey. So I was like, ugh. I feel bad for any young people that are just wading into this. But primarily, I think what people are looking for in dating, to be frank, is people looking for status, maybe companionship and love. But there's a lot of people looking for validation and economic security. So it's become more and more difficult because I do feel like a lot of us are still stuck in the very traditional sense and construct of what love and dating is supposed to be like. And we don't really live in those times anymore. We have progressed on. I'm not sure that it's necessarily progressive, but it's a totally different landscape. And I feel like people are still mired in that fantasy versus reality aspect of dating.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, can we blame people for having these fantasies about dating? I mean, I do feel like a lot of people think you get into a relationship and you've made it, right? That is the fantasy, right?
Is that true for a lot of men? Because I feel like guys, particularly now, or at least younger guys that I've been meeting lately, they do think of having a girlfriend as a status symbol.
I was going to say
that. Somebody pick me. Choose
it's
me.
A marker. Yeah. Okay. Now you start to quote some
Grey's Anatomy.
Problematic.
One of the worst lines in all of media. I was like, what is wrong with you? You're a surgeon. You don't need nobody.
Right. You're good by yourself.
What?
Come on now. Listen, and you know what? And you know that's me. My whole philosophy is like, I'm good by myself. I'm not wading through this crazy pool of dating. So I'm happy not to be dating. One thing I do want to say, though, before I answer your question, this whole thing has become a commodity, right? Like the dating market. It is insane. Mm-hmm. So I looked into this. It is a $4.4 billion market in the United States.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money in it, and it has grown, right? And
one of my business pitches would have been, we should be matchmakers and start charging
people. We
should
be matchmakers. Yeah, okay, I'm kind of into that. Millennial match. Okay, we'll figure something out.
I think we'd be good at it because you're more logical. You don't get mired into the emotion of it. So you could design like AI or something. You could program something.
Oh,
and then I could
God.
Be the one just like asking people what they want, you know?
Okay. This is an aside, but I think a lot of people are replacing romance with like ChatGPT. That's
I don't blame them.
You know, it seems like it's happening. You remember that movie, Her? I think it's happening. We're getting there.
People's reality now. It's crazy.
It's
I love that
close.
Movie.
Okay.
That movie wrecked me. I was like bawling
you
in the
bawling.
Theater. Oh my gosh, I was crying. It brought up a lot of things.
Meanwhile, I was just thinking about like, wow, that is really fascinating. It just brought up a lot of interesting ideas for me. So again, like you said, unemotional. I have branded myself as the Millie Bot, which I have not brought up recently. I need to bring that tag back. Okay, so what do I think people are looking for in dating, or guys in particular? I think you're right. Like, it is a status symbol, but, and maybe we've touched on this before already, but you kind of have like a beaten trail or a path that's set for you, and there's like milestones along the way. Go to high school, go to college, get into a relationship, find a house, get married, get the dog, all that stuff, right? Have kids after that. And so sometimes it is just you do it because like there's a lot of pressure to do it. But I think that this also ties in with a lot of things we've been talking about where people feel lonely. Mm. So maybe a guy doesn't have a lot of friends and getting a girlfriend might be a shortcut to that. But there's a lot of pitfalls that I'm seeing with dating right now. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Tell me if any of these like resonate to you in particular, like which one of these really stands out. So I already mentioned that this is a billions of dollars market, right? So it in a way it's a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point where we commodify each other and then these apps just feed into that a little bit more. So people are being objectified. And I don't think these apps are set up for us to find partners. They're just set up to make money. So that's an issue. And that's the problem with living in a capitalistic society is that somebody finds a way to make money and then they're going to try to exploit that. So that's the first thing that I've noticed. That's a dating pitfall. If you don't go into these apps realizing that, you can fall into that trap. And then I don't know that everybody has the right motivation. So there's not a lot of self-reflection, a lot of knowledge about yourself ahead of going into dating. So you might be going into dating thinking one thing, but you actually want another thing. I don't even know how many people are actually looking for love. So let's just start there.
Yeah, that's inherently, I think, the biggest observation I've seen most recently, because I've been on the apps and they are useful to a certain extent. You're probably not going to find your soulmate on the apps, though. I hate to break it to you.
Hot
If you want something
take.
casual, if you just want to go hook up with somebody, hey, Tinder, Bumble, really great for that. But if you want something more, if you want an actual long-term partnership, that's going to require a lot more than just like swiping on somebody.
Yeah, so you're just not in the right mind state when you start using it in the first
Not
place.
really. I mean, I saw on my Instagram, I think I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago, where it's like men aren't on dating apps looking for love. They're on there looking for help. And I think I forwarded that to a couple of my girlfriends because I was like, this is so true.
I will agree with that. I'm sorry. I feel like a gender traitor right now by saying that, but I do think a lot of guys need companionship, friendship, camaraderie, but then also just like some mental, emotional support. And I don't know that trying to find a girlfriend to do that for you, like it's a shortcut for sure, but like I don't know that it's healthy. Okay, so then the other thing that I think is a pitfall. I'm thinking there are people, maybe women more often than men. I don't know if this is true. You'll have to tell me. What I've been noticing is that people are romanticizing romance, if that makes sense. So they're prioritizing love, romantic love above everything else.
Oh,
There's so
yeah.
many other forms of love. There's
There
familial
is.
love, there's friendship love. There's the love of just nature. Just throw that out there.
Yeah, I think we've really drank the Kool-Aid as far as like romantic love is the most important above all else. But to me, I really value the friendship piece of it. And that's really where, where I start with a lot of people that I end up dating or end up being in relationships with, because that friendship really forms the foundation of romantic relationships. And I feel if you don't have that to begin with, it's like just building a sandcastle. It's really pretty for a hot minute, but that's pretty much going to crumble the minute you come across, the natural stages of love, which there's a few, and I'll touch on my experience in a little bit. But, when people think about finding the one or the idea of soulmates, I really do believe that, at least for myself, that some of my soulmates are my friends. And it's true because I've spent most of my life with my friends. So to me, like, that is the lifetime relationship that I've had that's like been the most consistent, apart from my dogs, of course. But we, as a society, like I think you've gone through this where it's the minute your friends get married, you never see them again. Because all of a sudden they're doing that thing, and I understand that they're spending more time together to build their bonds, so they start a family. They just kind of like kick you to the curb, and you're just like, wait a minute. We've known each other this whole time.
And it's not even just getting married. I mean, I think about my friends even in college, right? Like we were hanging out all the time and then they got a girlfriend and I was like, dude, what happened to you? They
Dang.
just disappeared. And I am a robot, but like that does hurt. I don't like that. And I wish that we did live in a world where we could balance all of those things. It's important to I have friends too, right? So I'm not even just talking about the friend that's been scorned, like just from that perspective. For that friend that just got into a relationship, it will be better for you and your relationship to still have all these other relationships. I know that it's really
Yes.
fun. There's a big drug cocktail that comes up when you get into a romantic relationship, especially for the first time. But if people don't take anything else away from the season, it is that we need to have balance. We need community, and that means we can't put all of our eggs into this romantic relationship basket. But listen, we're not talking about all of the solutions yet. So I wanted to ask you, so you have friends who are actively dating right now. How is that? Like, how is dating for you? How is dating for your friends? What are you saying?
What does Oprah say? It's like the difference between FOMO and JOMO.
Okay, you're gonna have to explain that.
Actually, I do have a FOMO tattoo, which is hilarious because that's one of my nicknames for Jade
FOMO.
and I. This was like a long time ago before FOMO was what it is now, which is fear of missing out. And
Okay.
then as you get older, there's the joy of missing out, where
Oh,
you
I
just don't
definitely got
need all of
JOMO.
that. Yeah, you don't need all of that. You could be sitting on the sidelines happily just watching people without having to be entrenched in it. And this is me, for the sake of transparency, outing myself, but I have in the past been a serial monogamist. It's true.
Thank
It's
you. You're
true.
safe here. Thank you for telling us
Yeah.
that.
And it wasn't until I was close to my 30s that I paused after like this, big breakup that I was going through. Man, I've never been really, I was thinking about how long I'd been single. And I realized I'd only ever been single for about 6 months at a time. And it was like a really, just really scary revelation. I was like, what? So I had tried to be single. Okay, I'm just gonna be single. I lasted exactly 11 months, which is pathetic.
I love it wasn't pretty good.
Like,
That's pretty
what is
good.
wrong with me? Just think about J-Lo. J-Lo is just perpetually in a relationship, and we
Yeah.
all judge her for it, and I feel bad because this girl just loves love and she wants to be in love, and there's really nothing wrong with that. It's just the way we go about it, I found in the last decade is really problematic. And I've been on both sides of this now because when I started being in relationships or dating, I was in high school. So you met, somebody, my first boyfriend was through my friend's network, in church, and we were all this part of the same group. And that just kind of happened that way. Or you meet your coworkers, or you just meet somebody at a grocery store. Apparently, it is easier to find somebody at Costco now than it is on Bumble. I don't know if you've heard that. It's probably
I've
not
never
factual,
heard
but it's been going around on TikTok and Instagram. I thought it was
that.
hilarious. So I'm like, that's probably true. I was used to just dating in the wild, as we say. And then for the last about, what, 10 years or so, being on the apps. And the experience of having to date and meet people on the apps is so, it's so bad for your mental health. And watching my friends, throwing themselves at any person willing to look their way, it's just really sad. And it makes it just th that much more twisted.
Yeah, you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of middle school, elementary school, when you're gonna play dodgeball, and then you have to just stand in the lineup and wait to
God.
get picked, you know? And that just does not feel good. I mean, okay, it feels good when you're the first picked. I mean, sure, that feels great. Or like everybody wants you on their team. But once you start getting towards the middle and towards the end, it just doesn't feel good. So
Dodgeball is
yeah, I
so,
just.
yeah, dodgeball is so triggered. I like how you went there because it's my last memory of dodgeball was in fourth grade, and somebody hit me so hard and I got the wind knocked out of me. It
Oh
hurt
man.
and I had to go sit
Okay.
down and I was really embarrassed.
Wow.
That's what dating feels like.
Yeah.
It
That's where you're at
hurts.
right now. You got the wind knocked out of you and you're taking a break, 11-month
I was like, yeah, I'm
break.
good. I'll be over here. I'm just gonna catch my breath, watch
Yeah.
everybody else go play over there.
Yeah.
It's
Well,
so funny.
the thing that I have heard from you though is that we're seeing a lot of I don't know if it's non-traditional is the right word for it. It's weird to think that apps are the traditional way to do things now, because a few years ago that was not the case. So now when I'm saying non-traditional, I'm talking about going to mixers or going out to like something that is specifically for singles in an area. I know that you mentioned Pitch a Friend, which is a really interesting concept, or a way for people to pitch their friends to other eligible bachelors, bachelorettes, which is, yeah, it's really interesting. So I like that you and your friends do things like that, because I do think that in-person piece is important for dating. But other than that, I mean, how has it been, the in-person piece?
I'll have to wait and talk to my friends about this because I mean it is a big topic with regards to at least my girlfriends right now. My guy friends can care less. You being one of them.
I mean,
It's interesting, I think, for the both of us because we're not like actively even looking.
right.
But with that, we found that even when we're not looking, that attracts more people to us for whatever ungodly reason. So this is where I out Chris because I feel like every 2 or 3 weeks Chris comes to me. He's like, I think I'm gonna have to ghost this girl. I think I'm gonna have to have a conversation. I was like, what did you do? And then Chris would be like, well, there was this girl I met at this conference, and I was like, okay, and what's that been like? And then you'll say something. We just talk all the time and we FaceTime and I take her out to lunches and I
Okay,
pay
hold
for
on
everything. And I was like, can you blame this
a
girl for thinking this is anything more than just a work relationship?
Yeah, I guess I am like a generous friend, I guess is the only way I can put it. And so maybe that is my fault, but you have the same aura about you. It's weird because it's a different type of aura. Like, I think I'm just friendly, so like I'm very happy to talk to other people. Esther is too, don't get me wrong, but like she just has like a very boss energy. It's very magnetic. I mean, it's not for
I don't
everyone, but
know.
it's very, it draws people in. And so here's where I'm gonna out you, because you will go to a place. She's not even dressed up, y'all. She didn't even like try. And she will just go out, and these guys are just coming up to her. It's so interesting to see. And I really think it is this boss energy that Esther has. She
That's
doesn't like that. She
scary.
doesn't like it when I call her a boss, but
It's scary. Well, I
she
just,
embodies it.
yeah, I'm just trying to get away from labels. About myself and about other people. But there is something to that, right? I mean, I do enjoy subtlety in certain spaces, and that's, I think, a big part of it. I'm not going to be out here trying to chase you. It's one thing to attract and to desire, and it's another thing to be desperate and just be throwing yourself at any single body. And I think that is a difference. And what I find interesting now, because I went through my glow up earlier in my life, in my 20s, and you're going through a similar experience. Which I don't
In my
think
thirties, yeah.
you've caught up to yet. And that's why most of the time when you bring these up, you are genuinely perplexed as to what is happening.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of weeks ago, I texted you and I was like, there is a version of you, baby Chris, that would have killed to have this amount of attention.
Yeah, I
I
remember you
feel high
texting me
school
that.
Chris would have just begged anybody to, especially that one girl that you like, to just
Okay,
like
come
pay
on
you
now.
any mind, any attention.
All
Right?
right, yes, all right. We're airing our laundry today. Things that I was gonna take to the grave. All right, so anyway, we did a lot of research, and I know you've been really like digging into this a little bit, and you've been sending me stuff. So there are some, I don't know if we'll call them experts, but they're very immersed in the space. So you'll have someone like Matthew Hussey, who is, to me, he's like a recovering douchebag. I'm sorry to say that. Should I even say
You're
that?
just a hater.
He
You're just a
seems like a
hater because he's
frat.
British and he's got good hair and he's got an accent. So
He.
all the girls love him automatic. All the girls and gay men probably love him.
All those things are probably true. He just comes off to me as maybe a tool, but he seems to have recovered, and he's
Well,
now someone who is.
he's gone through his own journey.
Okay. Well, that's fair. And so like I know that he's been giving out some tips, but then the one that I'm really interested in is Esther. I think I'm
Yeah,
pronouncing
Esther
her
Perel.
name. Okay.
We have the same initials and the same name.
I know. So at this point you should rebrand. You're Esther now.
Gonna try to pitch Estee, like Estee Lauder, but maybe it's
Oh,
too
okay.
late. Yeah, I really like them. I really like the Gottmans, Julie and John
Yeah, you told me.
Gottman. So they're experts primarily in marriage and relationships, but as far as dating, I've found that Matthew and Esther have provided the most sensible advice.
Okay.
And that's why I've compiled a lot of things from, their podcasts and from their writings here.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about like what you've learned from them. Do they have any opinions about how to make dating suck a little less for people?
primarily for Matthew, it's focusing on connection versus attraction.
Okay.
And we've had a lot of conversations about this because you you always talk about how guys focus a lot on that initial attraction.
Yeah.
Because last week you're like, have you ever slowly grown to like somebody because you've spent more time with them? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
And that was shocking to
me. Love is not always just love at first sight. Sometimes you just get to know somebody. And that is the gift of my early dating life is a lot of the people, it's like, I've just spent time with them. We've had opportunities to share a laugh, have an inside joke, have camaraderie, work in the same place, that after a while you come to really appreciate somebody's personality and what they have to offer. And, you know, you get to compare kind of your initial reactions to them versus like knowing them after a year and then realizing you both had a crush on each other. This happened to me on AOL messaging, by the way, and I was destroyed. Oh, wow. I was like, what? You like me the whole time and I should have broken up with my idiot boyfriend? Damn.
Wow, you brought up AIM. This is like
that's a technology we were talking about back then. Yeah. So it is important to value the connection first versus the attraction. Mm-hmm. It don't mean you're just gonna go date somebody who you're not at all attracted to. But my thing is, as long as you're cute and you have a great personality, that takes you a long way.
Okay. And then I gotta speak to the guys right now. This probably is true for women as well, but we gotta chill out when we get rejected, because it's not that big of a deal, right? I know that it feels bad, especially we just talked about how you want to be chosen when you're in that lineup and you're playing dodgeball. Like, you want to be picked. That just feels good. It's an ego.
I still don't think dodgeball is the best metaphor, but okay.
No, we can move away from it. But to me,
it was a very painful time.
I know.
And it happened in front of these cute boys too on the playground. My ego, my pride was just so, it wasn't even the physical pain. It was like in front of my peers, and we had just moved to the US. So I was like, this is a travesty.
Okay. Yeah. And see, when you're in school too, early days, like those things will stick with you.
Oh, man.
You do get a permanent record.
It's a core memory.
And I think this is something that Matthew Hussey says, his audience is usually women, but I do think that applies to men as well. It isn't a personal failing, you know? It's okay to find out that somebody doesn't like you. That just means that they're not the right fit. It's better to find that out early so that you can move on and cut ties.
I have to say that we need to normalize the fact that singlehood is not some kind of moral failing.
Yeah.
I don't know why people force perfectly happy single people to be married when they shouldn't be married or have no desire of being married. Like, it's such a horrible imposition on somebody who's just living their best life. But now you're telling them, it's like, no, actually, you're not really happy unless you have this person next to you. It's really messed up.
Yeah. I genuinely can't imagine my life in a relationship. Like, I think that it would require so many changes. I love my single life. So, like, you know, join us over here. Like, that's one pool, but there's like this other pool over here. We're just having a good time.
There wasn't a part of you that when you met that twinkly eyed girl from how many months ago was that? 2 months ago?
Once again, she is.
Chris goes and meets this person for the first time. And this girl apparently she is really cute because I saw a picture of her because we stalked her on socials. But had these beautiful eyes, and you're like, she actually took my breath away. And from you, I was stunned. I was like, what are you saying?
You know,
I was what?
It genuinely rarely happens. And
she doesn't even look like your celebrity crush, who is SZA, by the way, girls.
Why are you doing this to me? She came into this and she chose violence. Like, she knew she was going to embarrass me today.
I don't blame
it's,
you.
It's
when
hard
you, when
to
you
do.
Share, no, when you share that, it's not even me outing you, but when you look at SZA, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Anybody would have a crush on SZA. And she's just very talented.
Very talented. I mean, that makes a... Okay, anyway, listen, this is not about who I have crushed on in the past. But you know what? I think that there's a lot of value in, just enjoying where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're single right now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be in a relationship, that's great too. I just really urge people against morphing that into an obsession and turning that into just this anxiety pit. And
well, that's just the paradox. The paradox of love is the fact that it's always either too much or never enough, right?
Interesting.
There's very, yeah. How many people in your life have been like, I have the perfect amount of love right now?
That's a really good point. It's very few.
How often are you in a conversation with your friends? You're like, I am grateful for the absolute perfect amount of love I have all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, I think that this is going to be a two-parter because we're talking about the quagmire of dating. I do want it to move into maybe some more solutions and some of these other non-traditional dating opportunities that we've been looking into. But before we wrap it up, I got to hear this. You know, you're the master. So give us a pep talk about dating.
Yeah, so today's pep talk. Well, I'm going to touch on some of the things I really do love from Esther.
Oh, okay.
Esther
Perel.
Esther. Well, just a couple of things that she shares that's very consistent. You know, don't make dating a separate event. Try to include your sphere of influence with your friends and family right away so that you see how this person is integrating into your life or not. And dating fatigue, or especially online dating fatigue, is very real. So be careful. And make sure you're allowing your some space for intrigue. So she's really big about mystery and intrigue in the very beginning. And that is a part of desire itself. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say you're lying to somebody or not showing your true self, but just leaving a space for that, I think, is really fun. I think you mentioned this previously. It's like, don't make finding a partner the absolute sole focus of your life. Just go and live your best possible life. And that's really my pep talk, is just take it easy. You know, have a good time. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. Feel like you'll taking a deep breath.
Yeah. You'll find that you'll just attract more people organically if you are just doing the work of enjoying your life as it is. So that's where attracting rather than chasing is really important, in that you being Chris every other week, you're already attracting people, all kinds of people, men and women, which I'm a little jealous about. I was like, dang, all these people after Chris? By the way, if you've never seen Chris, and this was, I recognized this a couple of weeks ago when I was watching F1, you and Damson Idris
could be doppelgangers.
You just need to change your, have you seen his hairstyle? You just need to grow up your hair.
I see.
Y'all could be brothers.
Okay, I will take brother.
Every time I see him on an interview, I can't unsee it anymore. I was kind of like, they look very similar.
Interesting. Okay, well, he's a very good-looking man.
See what she thinks.
Okay.
The biggest part of this pep talk is really, there's a line that to this day really bothers me in the movie with Jerry Maguire, where Tom Cruise is saying, "You complete me."
Oh, okay.
That is the most messed up mindset you could ever have in your life. It is nobody's job to complete you, and it is nobody else's job to make you happy. So trying to find happiness in a romantic partner or anybody else that is outside of yourself is just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So please make sure that before you're going out there, regardless of whether it's in person or online and shopping around, that you're already a whole person. You're not just 50% of a person. Because going around looking for that is just very unhealthy. And lastly, focus on, like I said, attracting, and be mindful that timing is everything. You could be standing in front of the right person, but it could be the wrong time for both of y'all. So just knowing and having the patience that at the right time you'll meet the right person is really important. And not to do anything by force, because it does not end well. I promise you, if you try to force anything with somebody who is just not supposed to be for you, it's just not going to happen. So have a little bit of patience, guys.
Okay. I feel very moved by this and also inspired. The thing that I want us to talk about in the next episode, that space for intrigue, like the fun part, like the uncertain part that happens at the early stages, like even before dating, like before you even talk to somebody, like you go to a place, oh, you look, and then they look, and you're like,
there's the eye contact and attention.
Yeah. So like, I want to dig into that a little bit more. So like, what should people actually be doing to build that intrigue, and why that's a good thing? Because I do think a lot of people fall into this trap of thinking, I just need to lay out all my cards on the table and we need to just get into this as quickly as possible. Let's slow down. Like you said, making space for intrigue, taking your time. There's nothing wrong with that. So we'll talk about that a little bit more next time. But for today, I think that we've gone through a lot of stuff in 30 minutes. But there's more to talk about. This is a difficult topic. I don't necessarily love talking about it, but I knew that we had to get into it because we've been talking about community, friendship, and then romance is a part of this. Romance is part of community. It's just another relationship.
Yeah, and
But
I'm a hopeful romantic. So
okay.
I do feel like everybody deserves like some form of love in their life, and there's a lid for every pot, which is like my favorite saying.
I actually don't even know what to say then. It's like my mind does not work this way. Nothing to say. Okay, on that note, that is today's episode. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us.
Please like and subscribe. We want to grow this podcast and this
Gotta
channel.
grow it.
Yeah, and more importantly, let us know what you think in the comments.
I am gonna end this podcast today with a cheesy lie. So bear with me. Remember that you are alone, but you are enough. And that love is actually all around. I probably messed up that quote,
You
but
totally,
I
Maya
butchered
Angelou
it.
is rolling in her grave. It's you alone are enough.
You alone are enough. And that love is actually all around. Okay, till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.